and become more distinct, zigzagging above them in a steady climb. The last 100 feet or so had now disappeared in the clinging bank of low cloud.
Heard the drums again, lover.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Slow down, Jack.
Ryan felt his voice muffled and fogged the moment it left his lips. The skin on his cheeks felt cold and tight, and his coat was covered in a layer of fine drops of water. On an impulse, he tasted it, finding the slightest hint of salt.
I'm on top.
I fear that the bellows to this organ of mine are becoming a trifle short of pressure.
He means he's running out of breath.
Mildred picked up the ebony cane the old man had dropped and handed it back to him.
You certainly have a way with words, ma'am. Short and simple.
Concision has its merits, Doctor.
Looks like the ridge here.
J.B. moved a few cautious feet along the spine of the hill, testing the path beneath his boots.
You hear drums?
Jack looked first to Christy, as he knew that she had the best hearing in the group.
Last night in the tree and this morning, down there. I can also feel water, like an ocean. Could be one of those big lakes you mentioned, Mildred.
Lake Superior? Could be. That would account for this blasted fog.
J.B. joined Ryan.
Drums like they hear could mean Indians. Could be more of this stinking wet forest down there. Figure we go on or turn back now. Could be near the redoubt before full dark.
Ryan thought about what the trader used to say.
Most men faced with going on or turning back will likely go forward. Nobody likes turning back. All you have to do is think clear which option is best.
Ryan sometimes wondered if trader's words had always been true. Certainly in Deathlands, most men would strike ahead.
It'll be closing on dusk when we're down in that jungle, J.B., and we don't know where those bastard muty ants went. I say we go on, but slow and careful. What about you?
On. Hell, I knew that all along, Ryan. Just wanted to check you thought the same.
Drums again. Louder this time.
And trees. Spiky, not soft.
They were conifers, sparse at first, looming from the mist like stunted guards wrapped in cloaks of dark green. Then there were more of them, packed in closer to the edges of the winding trail. By now they could all hear the rhythmic beating of drums.
Rather chilly for Indian savages.
Bullshit.
How's that, madam?
One, can the savages shit? Two, saying Indians don't come from cold regions. I guess I could name you a dozen tribes or more that do.
Please do go on.
Doc stopped on the path, bringing the whole group to a halt.
Lakota, Mi'kmaq, Penobscot, Algonquin, Huron, Ojibwe, Mohawk, Yakima, Okanagan, Tlingit, Chinook, Beaver, Tanana, Cree, Bannock, Crow, Shoshone, Cheyenne. How many's that?
Round 15 or so. Better than a dozen.
If you like, I could go on with another 50, Doc. My minor was North American Indian Sociology, groupings and distribution.
Doc turned on his heel, setting off again down the trail at a fast lick. The trees grew thicker, filling the damp air with the scent of balsam, and the mist became thinner.
Think there's water close by.
The path was leveling off as they came onto a flat, wider trail among the trees.
Meat cooking.
Moments later, they all caught the flavor of roasting, overlaid with the tang of smoldering pine logs.
I'm not sure that noise is Indians. More like African. Or, I don't know, it's not really like anything I've ever heard.
Got to be a vill. Sounds less than a couple of 100 yards off.
J.B. unholstered his styrog. The wind gusted, and like a magician's trick, the curtain of fog vanished. They could see that they were close to the edge of the forest, and off in the distance they could make out the glittering expanse of a vast body of water. But between trees and lake was a largish vill. Huts and fires, cows and hogs, men, women, and children. For several seconds, none of the six friends spoke. It was Mildred Wyeth who broke the silence.
Damn, I can't believe it. They are Vikings.
Jorund Toraldsson, the Baron of Markland, stood 5 inches over 6 feet, and weighed nearly 300 pounds. Not a lot of it was soft fat. His eyes were as blue as melting sea ice, and the hair that hung over his broad shoulders was white blonde. Not quite as stark a hue as Jack Lauren's hair, but not far off it. He wore a shaggy woolen coat and leather pants, which were tucked into knee-length suede boots. A long two-handed sword was sheathed on his left hip, and he carried a .38 Colt on his right. He strode into the main hut of the Ville, where Ryan and the others had been taken.
Greetings, Outlanders.
There had seemed no great threat as they hid at the fringe of the forest, watching. Then a skinny mongrel had scented them, its furious yapping bringing a dozen men to investigate. It was a hair-trigger decision. 5 or 6 of the villagers were carrying blasters, but they looked like old cap-and-ball pistols with a couple of ancient automatics. If Ryan had given the word, the villagers would have been down and dying in the damp grass.
Hold it.
And that looked like the correct decision. The men, all of whom had long or plaited blonde hair, had surrounded them and asked their business. Ryan had explained they were travelers from the other side of the hill, beyond the tropical jungle. Their wag had broken down, and then they'd run into the army of ants that had driven them up the mountain and down into the Ville. They were greeted with no hostility, nor was there any clear evidence of friendship, just a calm acceptance of what they said, and the suggestion that they should all come to the Ville's meeting house to explain themselves in front of the Viking's carl, Baron Jorunt Thoroldsen. The last half-mile or so of the friend's trek had been colder, and Mildred Wyeth had pulled the hood up higher, covering her head and shadowing her face. Christie's red hair was tightly curled and dulled by the mist. Jack's white hair hung limp like curdled milk over his shoulders. No one had made an attempt to try to take away their blasters as they walked toward the largest of the wood-roofed huts. Ryan, as ever, had kept his eyes skating all around him. The Ville contained 40 dwellings, but no sign of any sort of mechanization, which wasn't unusual in isolated Villes throughout the Deathlands. There were no wags in sight, and the packed, moist earth around the huts didn't bear any tracks of vehicles. The smell of cooking was much stronger now, but the drumming had ceased. Had ceased at the moment the raw-eyed cur had begun its yapping. The feature of the Ville that had caught the friend's eyes were the boats, or were they ships? Ryan had never been that sure of the difference between the two. Each craft was 40 to 50 feet in length, narrow with high sides, and ports for a number of long oars. The elongated prow ended in a carved head of what Ryan recognized was supposed to be a kind of fire-breathing monster or dragon. Most of the men of the Ville wore some kind of dagger or short sword at their sides, and several had axes with hafts 2 feet long. A number of helmets hung over the entrances to the huts, looking as if they were made from varied combinations of iron and leather. The one common factor of the helmets was that all of them were horned. But now the Baron was speaking.
Outlanders here in Markland? By Baldur's eyes, this is a strange day. There have not been outlanders here in more than 10 years. Fishermen, they were, cast upon our shores in a violent storm when I was a stripling of 12 summers.
What happened to them?
The outlander fishermen?
Not a single woman among them.
By Freya's dugs, my one-eyed friend, if my memory serves me well, I think they went to sleep with their fish.
A man swims badly when his knees are broken, outlander.
Eagle Skellixen, hold your tongue or I swear I'll feed it to the midden curs. These men are our guests.
Christie took a step forward.
And the women, Baron? Are we not welcome in your Ville?
Jorund ignored her and spoke to Ryan.
In this Ville, non-men do not speak out like that. Not without our permission. Will you chastise the firehead thrall for her forwardness?
She's not a thrall, whatever that is. Where we come from, the women are equals of the men, and can speak how and when they wish.
Here in Markland, you follow the old ways of Markland, or it will go hard with all of you. Your women will be as our women, a willing thrall at the cooking, and a pliant receptacle when we wish to spend our passion. Is that one also a woman, beneath the hood?
Ryan's heart sank. He had only known Mildred for a couple of days, but he already knew enough to guess she wasn't going to sweet-mouth Baron Jorund of Markland. He was right. Mildred didn't even remove her hood, but everyone took notice.
Try to spend your passion in my receptacle, and you'll be picking slices of your cock out of the middle of the lake.
Ryan felt the chill of the butt of his pistol, knowing that JB, Christy, and Jack would be doing the same. The tall Viking looked at Mildred, wrinkling his blue eyes, as though trying to penetrate the darkness beneath her hood. There was a total and quite overwhelming silence in the hut.
The ways of an outlander are not our ways. But we have our own rules, and any outlander while he is with us in Markland shall observe them, or the price will be high.
In his life, Ryan had heard a lot of threats and more than a few promises, and he'd learned to tell the difference. This was a promise. Mildred turned slowly to look toward Ryan, holding his gaze for 20 beats of the heart. Then, even more slowly, she turned back to face the Baron and dropped a deep curtsy.
I apologize for my forward tongue. I shall endeavor to keep it guarded while I am in the presence of men.
A strong, white-toothed smile split the face of Baron Jorunn Thoroldsen, and he slapped his thigh.
Well said, woman. Well and wisely said.
Will we feed the outlanders?
This came from a slightly built young man who stood at the front of the crowd, his hand ostentatiously on the silver hilt of his sword. His right shoulder was noticeably higher than the left.
Feed them, Odo Crookback. Why should we not? Do we forget all hospitality because an outlander is such a scarce sight?
Forgive me, Carl Thoroldsen, but can we know a little more of them, their names?
True ale from a...